Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Yelling at God, who I didn't have an relationship with at the time, but I was yelling at God and I was asking him, why did you make me like this? What do you want from me? And I know that's a question that non-Christians, right? They believe that there's a God like I did, right? And even believers alive, we have that question, God, what do you want from me? And I want to do my best to answer that question. My message title tonight is, what do you want from me? Can you say that with me? 1, 2, 3. Amen. So I was raised in Vallejo, California, right? Killa Cali. It is really that. neighborhood that was exposed to a lot. I was, you know, representative of a lot. A young age, drug dealing, cop killing, prostitution, right? And the knife twice, right? And needless to say, right, you meet a lot of people who ask that question, if God is real and if God is such a loving God, then why all these bad things happen to me, right? And I believe that that God, he allows things to happen to us because he's infinite, we're finite, and he walks us through these situations. He allows these situations to happen in hopes that we would turn to him, right, and ask him into this situation, right, invite him into our situations, right, and he can show up and answer. The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? But a lot of times what happens is we blame God for those very situations, and it turns us away from him. And that's kind of my story. I had so much hurt and so much pain. I was poverty. I was growing up in a horrible area, and that was my question. Like, God, I know you're real, but if you're a loving God, if you care for me like the pastors and preachers say, then why is all this stuff happening in my life? But not once did I invite God into my life. I just complained and kept him distant. Amen. And I was Christian by association. I was forced to go to church when I was young, right? And I had no desire to live for God. I had no desire to live surrendered, no desire to turn from my sin. I just had a desire to go to heaven, right? I had a desire to go to heaven. And I don't understand the perspective of what Christianity was, right? And a lot of us, I'm tap into some religion today, right? A lot of us have this perspective, right? I really don't want to invite God into my life so he can be Lord of my life fully, right? Like, there's some things in my life, God, you cannot touch. Don't ask me for that, right? But I just want to, you know, do enough good to look at some people and say, I'm better than them, right? They call themselves Christian. I'm better than them, and God, give me what I want. And that was my perspective, right? My outlet was basketball. That's where I found my identity. I had coaches telling me since I was 7th, 8th grade that I would make it to the NBA. I was pretty good. If you want to challenge me, we can make it happen, Marquise. It's all good. that's where I found my worth. That's where I got praised. That's where, you know, I felt good about myself. So my only hope was to make it to the NBA. And that's what really kept me from going off on the deep end in high school, right? And, all of my friends were gangbanging and, you know, doing and using drugs. And I had, you know, some small convictions, morals that I was living by because I wanted something from God. But the enemy crept in and made me feel like I was living some sacrificial life, right? But it's basically, right, how a lot of people call themselves Christians. They're just doing enough to say I'm doing something and give me what I want. But are they really surrendered? Are they really surrendered? Are they really like their lives are not their own anymore, right? The Bible says if you seek to save your life, you will lose your life. But if you lose your life, you will find life for my name's sake. So I end up getting out of high school, right? And I go to college. I get injured the first season. And the real evil of my heart was exposed. The first thing that came out of my mouth, the first thing that came to my heart was, man, forget God. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking. I wasn't partying. Yeah, I was doing other stuff. I was stealing and I was sleeping around, but it wasn't as bad as I could have done and how I could have been. So, and God, you didn't come through on your end of the bargain. I missed out on high school. You know, the enemy's, he's crafty, right? He sneaks in and starts to put those thoughts in your mind and you start to manifest, right? They start to manifest and you start to think that way. And that's how I started to think. And I'm thinking like, you know, the enemy is so crafty and he started to convince me of these lies. And I'm thinking that I missed out on my whole high school from not going all out for the world. I'm thinking that, you know, he convinced me that these people were really happy. They really found something that I didn't find, right? Because I was not happy. And in my mind, I lived for God and that was a lie. So I gave myself over to this at that point. You know, I started drinking, I started smoking. I had so much voids inside of me, so much emptiness inside of me. It was like whatever can take away the pain, so much unforgiveness, so much bitterness, so much hatred for my father and people in my life, people in my neighborhood who bullied me, right? Just things in my life that, you know, that every time I thought about it, made me want to lose my life, made me want to take my life. And whatever it was at that moment that could take away that pain, that could numb that pain is what I saw too. I started drinking and I started smoking. And the next thing you know, I was a lot bigger, right? At that time, all the people who ever said anything bad, right, about me or tried to bully me because they knew I was focused on basketball, I'm getting in fights. And now I'm pulling guns on people at parties and everything, right? And I'm like, you know what? The drugs aren't doing it. The alcohol aren't doing it. The girls aren't doing it. Maybe my reputation would do it. That wasn't doing it, right? People, I had a reputation of that guy I don't mess with because he's crazy. He's chasing people through the malls with guns, right? That was me, right? And that wasn't doing it, right? So maybe the money would do it, right? You know, the OGs told me I got to get my game up. I got to get some. Now I'm selling drugs. Next thing you know, I'm shipping them over to Hawaii. I'm 19 years old, shipping them from the Bay Area to Hawaii. 20 years old, I'm living in a house on a beach, driving 3 nice cars in Hawaii, making a whole lot of money, but miserable. Crying myself to sleep every single night. Just thinking, maybe if I get a little bit more, maybe I haven't arrived yet. You know, maybe it's like, you know, they said get money and get stuff. Maybe I don't have enough money and enough stuff. I remember just being such in a dark spot that I remember this scene pops to my memory frequently. I remember driving to the club. And I was trying to get so drunk, and my hopes was, because I said the sinner's prayer when I was 15, right? My hopes was that I would crash the car and that I would wake up in heaven because I said the sinner's prayer, right? And I was saved, right, according to the culture of church, right? But I had no desire at that moment, you know, to surrender my life to God. It was, you know, on a weekly basis, my dad would nudge me and ask me when I was going to give my life to the Lord. And I was like, I'm going to beat him to the punch because he's getting on my nerves. So I'm going to walk up there. And that was my heart. It wasn't like I want Jesus. I walked up when I was 15 years old and they were like, you want to go to heaven or hell? I was like, I want to go to heaven. Well, just repeat after me, right? No discipleship. It was just that and just turn me loose. And that actually made me worse later down the line because they told me that however I lived my life on earth will determine whether I had a good life or bad life on earth. When I die, I was saved. I'll go to heaven. So I'm like, cool. So when I fully submitted to the dark side, I'm like, you know what? You know, I can live reckless because I'm going to die and go to heaven anyway. I'm going to wake up with no pain and no tears. Amen. And God saw how broken and how lost I was and still chose to love me in the midst of that. And thanks be to God for his wisdom, for his grace, for his mercy. See, what happens sometimes is God, like, he steps in and he intervenes. And it doesn't make sense to us initially, but it's the best thing for us. We see a lot of times in the Bible the God leading people, right? Leading Jesus, leading the children of Israel into a wilderness place, a barren place to prepare them for something. And in God's love and in God's grace and God's mercy, he removed me from a place where I was so distracted, I could not hear his voice and placed me into a place where I had no choice but to. And for me, it was the best thing that that could ever happen to me in that season of my life. But from the outside looking in, it was like the worst possible situation for people who were hoping and praying that my life would turn around. And that place was federal prison. I'm 21, a week before my 21st birthday, I'm sitting in a maximum security federal penitentiary facing 10 to 12 years. You know, mandatory minimum of 5 years in Hawaii for getting caught with guns and drugs, which I got caught with. But after the lab results came back and they broke down the ecstasy pills and they charged me for the methamphetamine, I was facing 10 to 12 years. At this point, my entire life, I live for other people, right? Do this, you'll find happiness, you'll find fulfillment, okay? Do more of that, you'll find happiness, find fulfillment. And I follow suit in prison, right? What the OG said growing up continued to reminisce in my head. You can't be no punk. Don't let nobody punk. You know, you got to have this chip on your shoulder. You got to be tough, right? So I'm getting in fights. And I finally get to this place where I'm sick of it, right? And God starts to work on my heart. I had this hardness on my heart. And he starts to chip this hardness off of my heart. And I'm sitting in there in the hole, 23-hour lockdown. There's a Bible there, and I'm mad at the Bible. I'm mad at the Bible. This thing had cooties. I don't want to touch it. I'm walking around my little 10 by 4, 10 by 6 cell, 10 by 6 cell. And I'm walking around it like this because I'm mad at God. This is his fault. If he would have just let me go to the NBA, I wouldn't be in here. Don't we do that? And don't we do that? Angry with God is a dangerous place to be. It will lead us into places where you don't want to go. And then slowly but surely, like as the times go by, the days go by, I start to have this conversation in my heart, in my spirit, in my mind with God. And I know he initiated because I was mad at him. I didn't want to talk to him. But I started to think about, man, my entire life I called myself a Christian, but I really don't know what that means. I really don't feel like I know God. I really don't feel like I have an intimate relationship with God. I know that pastor said I was going to heaven because I said a sinner's prayer, but I'm evaluating my heart right now. I don't really feel like if I die right now, I'm gonna make it. Then I start to think a little further, inspired by God, right? And I was like, you know, everything that I believe about God, everything I know about God is based on culture, is based on imagination, right? Based on a conversation, right? Opinion. This is what God is like to me. So, but none of it was based on the truth. None of it was based on, I didn't know the truth. I didn't know the word of God. And for the first time in my life, not because I was going to win a prize for finding a scripture, right? For the first time in my life, God stirred my heart to open the word of God for the only reason we should open the word of God, to know him. And I see, I had this perspective that God wanted nothing to do with me from way back then. If I would have known the character, the attributes of God, the real truth about God, I would have turned and repented a long time ago. And I'm saying that because as Christians, we got to paint the whole picture with our actions. This is what I mean, right? You know, youth events when I was younger, they would invite me. I had dreads. I had gold teeth. My pants was way down here. Big old jabos, right? And they would invite me to youth events and say God loves me. And I'm, I was 17 years old. And, you know, when I graduated, and they would invite me to churches, and I would come to church because they said that God loved me. And I walk in there and I wouldn't feel the love of God, but the judgment of people. Or, you know, my dad growing up, he would use God to get his point across or to try to threaten me, right? If he thought I was lying, he would say, you need to tell me the truth or God's going to curse you. So through all these experiences, right, with imperfect people, a false picture of a loving God got painted on the palette of my mind, on the canvas of my mind. So I had no desire to turn to God and repent of my sins and say, God, help me, save me. I had no desire to do that because I'm thinking if I turn to God, man, I'm a sinner for real now. He's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt. But that night, it was like, you know what? I was in a desperate place. I was broken. I'm like, I tried everything. I had a house. I had girls. I had money, and none of it fulfilled. God, if you're real, show me. And I dropped to my knees that night, and I didn't even know where to turn. I just flipped it open, ended up in the Gospels, and I'm like, oh, here it comes. God's going to, he's going to strike me down. I'm going to die right now. I'm going to see him. And I started reading the word. And all of a sudden, this hardness of my heart starts to chip away. And I just start to weep and weep and weep by loving and accepting God. I'm reading things like Romans 5:8 that he said it earlier, right? God demonstrates his love in this, right? While we were yet sinners, he died for us. I'm like, that sounds like a God that wants something to do with me. Just simple stuff that I overlooked my entire life. John 3:16, for God so loved. We forget that. It was the love of God that sent Jesus to the cross, not the wretchedness of us. It was God's love. It's clear. And I start to read, and guess what? Weeping, repenting. I didn't know how repentance works, so I thought I had to, anything I thought of that I did wrong, I had to say, forgive me for that, or I was, so I'm weeping for hours on my face in the cell, puddle of tears, probably all the way through the cell. And I just remember at the end of that period, I said, God, my entire life I live for myself. Come in my heart, change my life. My life is yours. It's not about me, God. It's all about you. And for the first time in my life, I had a conversation with God that I really meant. Let me tell you this. A week before I got arrested, I went to prison. I was riding, and we were riding a little bit dirtier than when I got caught. And I remember we got pulled over. I'm just be blatant because I'm in a different place. This is over 10 years ago. But I had tried to rob someone in Hawaii on the strip because I was mad that a drug deal went wrong. And so it was a bad night, right? I'm trying to meet this guy. I gave him some drugs, and he was supposed to meet me at the club, and then he didn't show up, didn't answer his phone. We found him at another club, and then he said he's gonna go get money. He snuck out the back door, and I was reckless. I was just an angry person. So I'm in the parking lot, and then I'm like, I gotta hurt something. I gotta hit something. So I hit a window, a BMW window with a double pane, bulletproof, and I break my fist. And then I go to the car, and I'm like, what, you know, whatever. And I just spontaneously see a guy, and I'm like, give me your wallet. You know, I pull a gun out. And then we're right on the main street. He pulls his wallet out of his jacket. He looks back, and there's a cop car flying down. He throws the wallet. He runs in the middle of the street. I turn the corner, turn left, turn right. I hit the sidewalk. Another cop car pulls me over. And we weren't thinking, like, this wasn't connected, but I remember saying this, you know, I had my shirt off, the car was smelling like weed, gun under the seat, and a bunch of drugs in the car. And the lady comes up to me, my license was suspended. She's like, put your shirt on, your license is suspended. I just pulled you over because I want to make sure you weren't drunk. You hit the sidewalk. And as I'm getting out the car, switching with the passenger, the other cop car flies right by me. And we do that all the time, right? We ask God for help, and then he comes through, and like, that wasn't God. That was just luck, right? And so this is the first time, right, I had a conversation with God. I'm like, God, I'm serious. God, and literally, God changed my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is real. I was a new creature. My life in prison was not about me any longer. Like, my waking thought wasn't, when am I getting out of here? How can I get out of here? What do I got to say to get out of here? It's like, I'm here, God. But you're here too.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
God started to use me as an evangelist in there, and I was content with where I was because he was with me. And that's what Christianity is. I started to grow, and I'm reading through the Bible front to back. You know, in the time period, my sentencing day kept getting pushed back. And I remember starting to understand what the voice of God sounded like. And one day I was sitting there, I was reading the story of Lazarus. And I remember the first incident of Rhema word, right? That part where, you know, God uses the word and he speaks it to you, right? And he's talking to you for your right now situation. I was reading, I believe it was in John 11:40. God was talking to the people when he says about the situation with Lazarus. He says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? And as I was reading that, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to let you out of prison, right? And I'm like, well, this is weird. Like, I'm hearing God's voice, right? I'm going to let you out of prison, plead guilty, and leave yourself at the mercy of the judge. And I'm like, Well, that was strange, right? Like, I feel like this is what God is telling me to do, but I'm not sure, right? Months go by, and I have sentence today. It's about a year later, and I meet with my lawyer who made it very clear he was a lawyer for 10 years. And my dad flies in to Hawaii. You know, my family flies in, and, you know, we have this meeting before the court, and I'm like, look, like, I cannot get away from this. I feel like this is what God is telling me to do. Plead guilty and leave myself at the mercy of the judge. My lawyer looks at me and says, look, the DEA is trying to offer you a deal for 5 years. You'll get 3 and some change, but good time. That's the best opportunity for you. That's the best situation for you. And when I thought about doing that, right, I felt convicted. I felt like that was the wrong thing. And so I obeyed God, right? And I was like, you know, I can't do that. I have to. And this is what he told me, right? He said, look, I know you're a Christian now, and you're a believer. I meet religious people all the time. They come in here and they feel like some miracle is going to happen. But I'm telling you, I've been a lawyer for 10 years. You're going to get something. Don't be dumb. My father is like, you need to stop being stubborn. You've been stubborn your whole life. You need to listen to the lawyer, right? Thank God for dads, right? But against, you know, their better judgment, like, God was actually speaking to me, and he was leading me in that situation, and I could not get away from it. And we're going to get to the point. I want to answer that question. What does God want from you? Can you say that with me? We'll remind ourselves, what does God want from me? 1, 2, 3. So I go to court, right? And I plead guilty. I leave myself at the mercy of the judge. And, you know, the prosecutor speaks. Right after I spoke, I couldn't even get my words out. The Holy Spirit just hit me, and I'm just weeping. I couldn't even say anything. That wasn't even a plan. The prosecutor speaks. He makes me look like even more of a criminal. He says things that I forgot about I even did. And then the judge comes to the podium, and he literally, I'm thinking, okay, cool. God, you're speaking to me, right? It's going to be a miracle. I'm just going to walk out here. It's going to be a breeze, right? And sometimes, right, when God speaks to us, right, we have in our mind what the situation should look like. Amen. And then if the situation doesn't look exactly like it is in our mind, then we start to lose hope and we start to doubt God. And we're like, wait, I didn't hear from God. That was me. And I want to encourage you to continue. If you heard God's voice, you heard God's voice. He will fulfill his promises. Amen. I don't know what that means to some of you, but I want to continue. So he cut the podium. He sold it. He did not. This was not what it looked like in my mind. At all. I'm talking about going off on me, spit flying out of his mouth. You're a disgrace to Hawaii. You're a disgrace to your family. You come from another state to bring drugs into my state. You're selling to military soldiers and minors. He was going off on me. And at that moment, I started to lose hope. I started to lose faith. And the enemy creeps in those moments, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Enemy creeps in and like, look, you should have listened to the Lord. You heard God. Doesn't he do that, right? Look, you thought you heard God, right? Where's he at now? That was you. That wasn't God, right? Wave at me if you felt that before. Come on. And so, like, I just tuned him out, and I felt like I was so that. And I just kept saying, Jesus, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, God's peace came over me. And I just began to focus on him. And then I reverted back to that prayer when I first met him a year ago. And I just said, God, my life is yours. You know that. You changed my life. You changed my heart. Everything that you said has come true. You've given me peace. You give me joy. You give me identity. You give me security. You give me freedom. God, my life is not, it's not about me no more. A little less than a year ago, I've given my life to you, Father, and I meant it. Whatever you want to do, oh God, not my will, but let your will be done. And we see that, right? We see that in the Bible. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 7, 24, verse 27. No, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. The Bible says this, right? Jesus on his way to the cross, right? Having to do something crazy, something heavy, something that he didn't necessarily want to do. What is God looking for? He's looking for us to not make it about us, but to make it about him, because he knows what he's doing. This is what Jesus says. He says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. A lot of times in our situations, right, like we make our situations about us and instead about him. And at that moment, right, I made that, I literally 100% was like, God, like, if you want to let me out of here, I know you got the power to do so, but if you want to leave me in here, we'll have this whole prison safe. And I meant it. I'm like, God, you were real and you were powerful and you filled me up with your love. And I'm content with that. I know I'm going to heaven. God, let your will be done. And you know what? Let me tell you this. When my heart matched his heart, it moves God. This is what happens. When your heart matches God's heart, it moves God to validate on your behalf. Let me tell you this. When I said that, I said, God, let your will be done. And I meant it. And I look up back at the judge. This is no lie. God's like, that's my son. That's what I was waiting for. The God who fights your battles is on the way. And literally, it was like God stepped in the room. The presence of God fell on that place so heavy. And let me tell you, this is no lie. The judge in the middle of his sentence stopped speaking. He felt the overwhelming presence of God. Next thing you know, I look up at the judge and his countenance is completely different. From angry, spit flying out his mouth, face cherry red, right? I'm mad at your sins, right? I'm mad at your crimes, to me praying, me submitting to God, God stepping in like, you know what? That's what you need to do anyway. It's not your battle to fight. It's all me. I said I was going to come through. God changing the situation, changing his heart. The next thing you know, he looks up. He's holding my court case paper and he's just shaking his head. Countenance completely different. He follows up with this. He says, you know what? For some reason, I have an urge to give you a chance. I know what the law says, but I have the power. This is God speaking through him, I felt, right? I know what the law says, but I have the power and the authority to go outside of what the law sees fit for you. I don't normally do this, but I feel, this is verbatim, I feel compelled to give you a chance. If I ever see you back in here again, you're going to wish you never met me, but I really feel like I got to take a chance on you. You're free to go. The prosecutor, just like in the movies, right? I object. The law says this. He bangs the gavel when he walks out. And I was a free man. The cool part about it is I had a lot of friends who came to support me on that day who were selling drugs or prostituting girls full-time in Hawaii, who saw the whole situation, and God used that situation, used my submitting to him and not making it about me to save them, and now they're all in ministry, every single one of them. And see you, us submitting to God, amen, praise God. Amen, come on. Us submitting to God goes further than just us and our situation. You never know what God wants to do through you when you say, let your will be done, God. Like if you read the story of Job, he gives detailed description of his intelligence and his vastness, his knowledge, his capabilities go further, way further than this. Our ways are not his ways, nor our thoughts his thoughts, says the word of God. Amen. Amen. I want to read this last scripture to you. So one, to answer that question, what does God want from me? He wants your surrender. Right? One of the scriptures I said, if you lose your life for my name's sake, you will find life. If you save your life, right? If you save your life, you will lose it, right? He wants us to lose our life, and it's not even about me. Think about it. He purchased it, so he owns it. If he purchased it, he owns it, right? If you still own it, then he didn't purchase it. The second thing that I want to share is this: just Matthew chapter 7, and then we'll just pray. Chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Everyone then who hear these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And I say that to say, a lot of times in situations like God, he'll call us to situations. You see this all throughout the Bible. It's a trend. He'll call us situations, and those situations will test our faith, right? And what we need to do, what God wants for us to do, is to keep our house founded and grounded on the rock, on Jesus. So many times when we go through hard situations, right, it really exposes the real of our heart. It exposes the motive of our heart, right? We go through hard situations and then we turn our back on God. We get mad at God and we walk away because it didn't go how we wanted to. God wants our foundation to be him, right? And us to be content. One of the prayers that I used to pray when I was in prison, let me say this before I say that. I would talk to my mom on a weekly basis, right? And this is what she said. She says, I know that God is doing a work and has done a work in you. This is the first time in your life that I am not worried about you, and I probably should be because you're in prison. Amen. I'll skip that part. God wants our house to be grounded. He wants it to be founded in him. He wants to have our heart completely, whether it's hard situations, whether it's questionable situations, whether there's barrenness, whether there's, you know, like, I don't know, I don't see you, God, right now. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. One of the prayers that I said I used to pray was, God, if you never do another thing for me ever again, you've already done too much. I'm content with you. And that's what it looks like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. To surrender your life to Jesus. That's what Christ wants from you. He wants you to be surrendered. Not to come to him with your own secret agendas, own secret ambitions, right? Like your own selfish ambitions. But he wants you to come to him and make it completely 100% about him. And the cool part about it is God is for you anyway, right? A lot of times the situation, he's waiting to see how you respond so we can give you the things that you want anyway. Look at that. I love the story of Solomon. One, because my last name is Solomon. But God comes to Solomon and ask me anything, right? And obviously, he's a man. He's thinking money. He was thinking riches, right? And God says, you know what? Since you didn't ask me that, I'm going to give it to you anyway. You know, when our heart's about glorifying God, he can entrust us with the blessing. Amen? He can entrust us with the blessing. So I walked out of prison that day, and I never turned back since. Amen? Amen? Someone make some noise for Jesus. Amen? I was going to do an altar call, but we've gone over. I just want to pray. We can? Okay, cool. We can just bow our heads, close our eyes. And I don't know if we get some worship or... Cool. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for who you are. Father, remind us, Lord, and continue to remind us, Lord, that you got this. You got our situations financially, Lord. You got everything in our lives, oh God, because our lives belong to you, Lord. And convict our hearts, Lord, because often, Lord, we try to take control and lordship back from you, God. When we don't see your hand moving or moving as fast as we want it to, oh God, we try to take it back from you, oh God. And I pray, Father, that you would just center us, Lord, and ground us, Lord, on the rock. Storms come, Lord, when hard times come. That's what that scripture was talking about. When hard times come, when the winds blow, oh God, we don't just leave you, oh God. Father, you desire a surrendered son and daughter, Lord. Desire, Lord, a heart, a spirit that cries out, let your will be done. Can we just say that tonight? Say, let your will be done, God. Let your will be done. If there's anyone who needs just any additional prayer, I don't know how you guys do that, but I don't know if there's any leaders or anything like that. I'll be up here. I just want to pray for you. If you're struggling with anything, I was feeling earlier just anxiety, depression. If there's someone who needs freedom from that, and you would like me to pray for you, just wave at me. Is there anyone in here? Hey, amen. I see you. Cool. You want to come up? I want to pray for you. Amen. Hey, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you
So come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.